please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. In medal results Friday at the African Games in Morocco, riders from Namibia and Mauritius won gold medals in the men's and women's cycling mountain bike cross-country marathon events. Namibia's Tristan De Long won his second gold medal at Rabat 2019, covering the 60-kilometer course in 1 hour, 53 minutes, and 11 seconds. Tristan also won a gold medal Wednesday in the 30-kilometer cross-country event. Mary Lecourte de Belot of Mauritius won the other cycling mountain bike gold medal on Friday. She pedaled the 60-kilometer course in 2 hours, 28 minutes, and 43 seconds. In African Games swimming, there were 10 finals on Thursday evening. South African swimmers won 5 gold medals. Egyptian swimmers won 4 gold medals. And the other gold medal in the men's 400 meters individual medley went to the Algerian Ramzi Chouchar, who touched the wall in 4 minutes and 23.53 seconds. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Egyptian swimmer Farida Osman. She set a new African record in the women's 50 meters butterfly with a time of 25.94 seconds. The Egyptians dominated the medal table at the 2015 African Games in Congo Brazzaville, and they're showing strong signs of doing the same in Morocco. With medals still to be awarded on Friday, the Egyptians have 50 medals total, 14 gold, 20 silver, and 16 bronze. South Africa is next with 27 medals, 12 gold, 9 silver, and 6 bronze. And Algeria is third with 30 medals, 10 gold, 8 silver, and 12 bronze. And while the Algerians have more total medals than the South Africans, keep in mind, VOA sports fans, the South Africans are ahead of them on the medal table because they have more gold, which carry more weight. In African Games athletics, the track and field action begins Monday at the Prince Moulay Abdallah Stadium in Rabat. Sunday Adeleye is the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Sunday said Nigerian athletes are healthy and excited about winning medals in Morocco.
Team Nigeria athletics team is ready. We're 100% active. The camp is complete. All the athletes are here. And then, of course, the foreign-based athletes and the home-based, everybody have come back and without no injury, we are focused and the athletes are happy and determined to get the event going.
How many athletes and officials did the track and field team travel to Morocco with?
We have a total of 52 athletes and 6 officials.
Is there any special area in the track and field event that you think Team Nigeria will get more medals?
Every event is special to us, and then of course We're taking every event very special because surprises will definitely spring up because the level of readiness of our athletes is topmost gear.
Do you have challenges in camp regarding the fitness and preparedness of the athletes?
No, so far so good. The camp is okay. The athletes are okay. We recorded zero level of injury. That is to tell you that our athletes are all fit and ready for the competition. I mean, as much as we've not encountered or secured any injury so far, and the athletes are in topmost care and ready for the event.
Which country are you expecting a serious opposition from at the Games?
Well, when it comes to a game like this, you try to stay focused and then concentrate on your own team, even as much as you know that Nigeria is also a serious contender when it comes to this level, not even when we have this caliber of athletes that are doing very well in the world. So we leave the concern to other countries. We leave it to them to concern or worry about us while we stay focused to our business.
Will any of the events serve as a qualifier for the 2020 Olympic Games?
Of course, yes. It's open. The athletes are also taking it as a chance to get their standard or to get qualified for the Olympic Games. So every event matters and every event we're competing with, the athletes have it behind their mind that, okay, we're going there to use this, not just to win the gold medal, but of course we're going there to use it to qualify for those who have not qualified for the World Championship and the 2020 Olympics.
That's Sunday Adeleye, the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria, and Sunday spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Rabat, Morocco.
Hi, my name is Sunday Adeleye, the technical director of Athletics Federation of Nigeria and the athlete representative on the board of Athletics Federation of Nigeria. I want to say a special shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Sunday Adeleye mentioned how some of the Nigerian athletes at the African Games in Morocco will try to qualify for the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. Well, 23-year-old Gabriella Debus Stafford is hoping to represent Canada at her second Olympics next year in Japan. Gabriella made her Olympic debut at the 2016 Olympics in Brazil, where she competed in the women's 1500 meters event. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with the Canadian athlete at the recent Muller Grand Prix meet in Birmingham, England. Here's Andy.
Well, Gabriella, you've been having a great season. Canadian record, a mile, 1500, well, combined. Second today in Birmingham. But of course, there's interest in that you're an Anglo-Canadian combination,
yeah,
in terms of now you're being coached by Andy Young, who guides the career of a certain Laura Muir.
Yes.
How's that been feeling? Because as I understand it, you're based in Glasgow now. So how's that working out?
It's going really well. I'm so grateful for the opportunity that Andy, Laura, and Gemma have afforded to me. And, you know, to work with the best in the world is such a blessing and a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And it's been a challenge, of course, but it's mostly been going very well. And my husband is also British, and so we've been able to make that move together. And so to have somebody like a partner doing this move with me makes it really exciting and a very smooth transition. So,
how did it come about? I mean, was it kismet, fate, or did did Andy Young approach you? You approach Andy Young, or was Laura the intermediary?
Yeah, so we knew our connection was we're part of the same sports agency. So actually at Birmingham last year, I was introduced to Andy through my agent, Dan Lilo. And so, yeah, that's how we met. So we met a year ago at this meet.
Is the training you do with them now markedly different to what you used to do?
There are some big differences. I come from a background of kind of lower volume, higher intensity and quality. My old coach, Terry Rodchenko in Toronto, that was his approach. So it wasn't like a drastically different in terms of coming from a really high volume, lots of tempos and threshold stuff to a program with a lot more intensity or vice versa. So that was good in terms of similarity. But yeah, there are some big differences, of course, just the intensity of the work. I think going from a collegiate to a pro program, and then obviously just trying to keep up with one of the best athletes in the world right now, you know, it's going to be a lot faster. So, yeah.
I mean, obviously, you're an established international, but yes, Laura Muir is, it's fair to say, no slouch.
Yeah, so, yes.
But do you have to be careful that training, well, in a way, there's an element of competition in training, but not to do your best racing in trying to stay with her.
Yeah. I think that you can surprise yourself by how hard you can push in training, so long as you're doing the appropriate things to recover from it, like sleeping a lot, eating well, you know, that type of stuff. So I think just trying to keep up with Laura as much as I can. You know, there's workouts where I can't keep up with her, but that's fine. It's just about showing up every day and giving it 100%, giving it your best. So.
And presumably, of course, this is World Championship year, Doha, but Olympics, Tokyo next year. Mm. I mean, this is a partnership you're expecting to continue for quite some time?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Well, Gabriela, well done. Second place in Birmingham, but also on this somewhat resurgence in running for you in the Anglo-Canadian combination. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your interview.
That's Canadian athlete Gabriela DeBoos Stafford, and she was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards at the recent Muller Grand Prix meet in Birmingham, England. And this fun fact about Gabriela, her father, James, was also a runner, and he competed for Canada at 4 World Cross Country Championships. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football news, Liberia has appointed Peter Butler as the new head coach of the national team, nicknamed the Lone Star. The 52-year-old British coach previously was in charge of Botswana between 2014 and 2017. In an interview with Moses Garziawu, Coach Butler talked about what he hopes to accomplish with Liberia.
I have a great deal of experience, worked in Africa for 3.5 years, took Botswana to 86 in the FIFA rankings with little or no money, and brought the average age down to 23. So I think the most important thing from my point of view is to identify, recruit a young squad, a new young squad, bring in some experienced players who can actually support those players and get some results and make progress down the road. I'm obviously very positive and looking forward to the challenge.
The Liberian FA say you have a mandate for a year and probably building up to qualifying the nation to Qatar 2022 and the preceding Nations Cup. Are you up to that level?
I think the most important thing is that it's a year's challenge. You can achieve a lot in a year. You can learn a lot in a year. You can learn a lot whether you're good enough or you're not good enough. And I think the most important thing is that if we all work together, we'll go somewhere down the road to actually achieving our hopes and dreams. And I think you have to be realistic. It won't be easy. It's going to be tough. It's only a year's contract. I mean, we'll assess it after 6 months. I had other opportunities to go elsewhere. I can assure you this is not a money move. Far from it. This is about taking on a challenge where it appealed to me back in national team football and working with some very, very talented young players.
How difficult was it making a decision? Did you have something that influenced you most in terms of coming to Liberia?
Not really, no. I've obviously heard a lot about, read a lot about Liberia, you know, obviously for the right reasons, the wrong reasons. And I think the most important thing is never judge a book by its cover. It's, you know, come and see the place and meet the people first. I found the people so far fantastic, very friendly. Very hospitable, but like I said, I'm not here on holiday. I'm not here for the money. I'm here to actually help develop a new team and get some results moving forward in the future.
Did George Weah have some influence on your decision? He's president of Liberia, former Ballon d'Or winner.
His Excellency George Weah, who was a wonderful footballer, and I think he, you know, to come and to work in an environment where he's the president of the country is an honour in itself, and hopefully I'll meet him somewhere down the road and we can talk football. But yeah, to represent Liberia is an honour, and I'm very thankful for giving the opportunity.
What kind of players are you hoping to work with the Liberia national team?
I know they're a talented football team. They want to play football. They want to play possession-based football, but it needs to have an attacking slant on it. It's all right having possession and going nowhere. You need to play with the tempo. You need to get bodies forward, and you need energy in the team, and that's what we'll be looking to bring in, players with youthful energy, and more importantly, you know, with a steely resolve about the group. I do believe that there's a talent there. It just needs nurturing, and hopefully, you know, we'll have the time to actually put together a squad which can actually challenge and realise those results.
That's Peter Butler, the new head coach of Liberia's national football team, the Lone Star. And Coach Butler spoke with Moses Garziawu in Liberia's capital, Monrovia. Joining us now with more football news from Africa is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. South Africa Football Association, SAFA, will this weekend launch the first Women's National Football League in Southern Africa, but there is no clarity on prize money for the champions and monthly grants. The historic Women's National League will see 12 teams across the country compete in a round-robin system. SAFA President Danny Jordan confirmed none of the matches will be televised for now, but said the association is engaging a number of broadcasters.
We have to strengthen the clubs now. The clubs are basically clubs from grassroots football, amateur clubs, and a whole range of measures must be taken to strengthen those clubs to be able to compete at a national level.
According to SAFA Vice President Ria Ledwaba, all the 12 teams will be assisted financially throughout the season.
With or without a sponsor, we are establishing this league. And when it is established, we'll work around the clock to make sure that this league is sustainable.
And now to Kenya, where Football Kenya Federation President Nick Madwawa has defended the latest decision to appoint Francis Kimanzi as the head coach of the national team Harambee Stars. FKF President maintains it was the right time to bring in a local coach for the national team following the exit of Sebastian Migney.
We have thought about it, discussed with him, and we think that he's best placed now in Kenyan history to drive this team forward after his experience being with the national team.
For his sport, the newly appointed coach, Francis Kimanzi, says he will be seeking to build on the foundation left by departed Frenchman Sebastien Migny.
It's difficult sometimes to satisfy everyone around the beautiful game, but we'll try. We'll try most of the time, you know, in selection, in monitoring and guiding the players. We'll try our level best, but I can tell you it will never be easy.
And on a rather sad note, former Ghana international Junior Agogo has passed away at the age of 40. The former Nottingham Forest player has been battling stroke since 2015 after he retired from football. He had won 26 caps for Ghana and was a country star at the 2008 African Cup of Nations. Here's how some fans reacted to the news of the death of the Ghanaian former football star.
And he was one of the players who was very strong.
He's the only Black Stars player I have a crush on.
He was a fantastic player.
Girls were crazy about him.
I loved his JJ's nephew.
I had a crush on him.
He's very strong and can take on the defenders.
Anytime he came onto the pitch, the girls were all excited.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. Junior Agogo sealed his place in the hearts of Ghana football fans with his performance at the 2008 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which Ghana hosted. Junior scored 3 goals, including a late winner in the quarterfinals that lifted Ghana to a 2-1 victory over Nigeria. Former Black Stars midfielder Laria Kingston says, and I quote, "I think that was the goal that sealed his popularity in Ghana. During the tournament, we could feel Junior's influence in the team grow and his popularity go up, but that goal sealed everything." Meanwhile, Junior Agogo's former English clubs paid tribute on social media. First, Nottingham Forest. "Rest in peace, Junior. Nottingham Forest Football Club is saddened to learn that former striker Junior Agogo has passed away. The thoughts of everyone at the club are with Junior's family and friends at this sad time." Bristol Rovers Football Club had this to say: "Rest in peace, Junior Agogo, a gas legend, scoring 41 goals in 126 appearances. Our thoughts are with his family and friends at this time." Sheffield Wednesday and Barnet FC also expressed condolences over the death of Junior Agogo. Now let's go to Mongolia, which traditionally celebrates archery, wrestling, and horse racing during its Nadam Festival. The horse racing is proving controversial, as we hear now from my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson.
Mongolia's most famous horse festival is a celebrated event across the country. But in the background, rights groups are very concerned. More than 10,000 children participate in nearly 400 races in Mongolia. Each year, an average of 600 child jockeys are thrown from their horse, and in 2017, 169 were killed. Growing up on the edge of the Gobi Desert in a nomadic family, Namun must work as a jockey riding in Mongolia's biggest horse racing event, the Nadam.
When I was 5, I started to ride horses, and I have been racing now for 4 years. My father trains the horses, and I am the jockey to race them.
Mongolian courts have banned child riders from racing in winter and spring races in response to the high numbers of deaths and injuries recorded each year. But most horse racing families continue to swing child jockeys back up into the saddle, despite new regulations introduced 3 years ago.
When the kids are jockeys, it is good for their health, their exercise. It is a national tradition. Namun didn't have any accidents so far, but when she races, I always worry.
Rights groups have slammed horse trainers for putting children's lives even more at risk. Retired events organizers are worried the traditional Nadam festival is now turning into a business, pushing horses and child jockeys to the limits. Segmit Sambiar trains horses.
I've trained racing horses since the 1970s. We used to start early with preparation, giving them extra feed to make them strong. Now the rules aren't strict and everything is becoming easier and about the prize money.
With regulations poorly enforced and perpetrators of child fatalities rarely punished, the fate of improving horse racing standards in Mongolia are slim. Namun says she will continue racing to make her family happy.
My family is so glad when I race, especially my brother. When I win, my brother is so glad and proud of me.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that report. And that wraps up the August 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondette. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
Sleep deprivation has long been linked with having a higher risk for cardiovascular disease and even death from coronary heart disease. A study published in the journal Psychosomatic Medicine suggests one possible reason is that having a bad night of sleep can cause blood pressure to spike. The researchers studied 300 men and women between the ages of 21 and 70 with no history of heart problems. The participants wore portable blood pressure cuffs and had their blood pressure randomly measured over a two-day, two-night period. To gauge their sleep efficiency, they also wore devices that measured movement as they slept. The researchers found that the participants with lower sleep efficiency readings also showed an increase in blood pressure during the night and a higher systolic or upper number blood pressure the following day. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it, yeah. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the continent has seen a decline in the number of authoritarian regimes since the 80s, but still, the number of democracies has not increased significantly. A report card on democracy on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than